worship you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship you.
Amen. In Jesus' name, Lord.
Lord, we worship you. Amen. Lord, we worship you. 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 Amen. May be seated. It's good to be here worshiping the Lord. We know that we have one place to go, that's to Him. The whole world can fall, but He stands and will stand. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that we change. We have our up and downs, you know. We have our upsets and everything. But if He's the same, He never changes, you know. He's just there all the time to do something for us. I'm so thankful to the Lord for that. Remember the absent body? Remember Brother Washington traveling from California to come back from vacation? Just be with the Lord to bless him and keep him and guide him. I'm so thankful to the Lord that we can pray to him. What would you do if you didn't have the Lord to pray to? Tell me, what would you do? My strength comes from the Lord, the Scripture says. So you talk to him and you pray to him. There's strength that comes to you. You don't realize it. The Lord willing, this Sunday I will continue, and I'll continue tonight on the doctrine of the restoration of the bride tree. But I try to cover the materials for Sunday, and there are many areas that we have to cover them probably tonight to prepare for Sunday. Because some subjects you cannot just get into anytime you want to, any way you want to. Excuse me, you have to prepare your materials so that people to know what you're talking about. And the Scripture, I believe, is the greatest teacher that we have through the Holy Spirit, teaches us what we're supposed to know. Now, you look at your life, and I look at my life, and you don't realize that God pictures you like a fruit tree. Do you know that? Do you know that you are pictured like a fruit tree? The Scripture tells you that. The Scripture says, by their fruits you shall know them. You see, it's a God takes creation and pictures you and me and the process of nature, what's in us, what's coming out, and all these things is by their fruits you shall know them, he said. So now when you see the fruit, I like to define some things and get them ready for Sunday. Because Sunday I want to get into some things without have to worry about clearing things. When we look at the English language and we call something that is a fruit, we say, now, what is a fruit? And we say fruit is probably, you look at an orange and you say, this is an orange, this is a fruit. We say, where did you get it from? I get it from this tree that's an orange tree. Of course, I imagine you don't look for an orange tree to pick it up from a pine tree somewhere. You got to pick it up from the orange tree. And if you check the orange trees, the life of the tree follows all the way down and comes to the fruit. When you start looking now at the fruit itself, you found some seeds in there. The orange itself doesn't carry the life. The life is in the little seeds. And if you take that seed and you bury it, you're going to have what was in the original tree, down at the bottom of the root. Now, there are two words that are used in the Greek Bible. One is fruit, which means the outside portion. The whole thing, including the seed inside, is called the fruit. Now, karpos means the little seeds inside that they're the actual life carriers. Sometimes they have a hard shell around them. But you take that carpon, that seed, and you bury it into the ground, And that would start bringing what was in the original tree, if the moisture is right and so on, season, so on. Now, so often we look at the scriptures and we have so many things to look at, and probably tonight I'll mention a few things, that the orange itself, you can bury into the ground, you'll never bring oranges. You have to bring the life carrier all the time. And you can take an orange and bury it, that thing will rotten and so on. But if you don't have the seeds in there, you'll never reproduce anything. So now when you look at the orange tree very close, it can be a hybrid tree. Do you know that? And a hybrid fruit. And most of the hybrid fruits don't have any seeds in them. So there's nothing you can do with that kind of an orange. The only thing you do, you eat the orange, and there's no life to reproduce itself. Why? Somewhere on the road, probably the geologists and so on took around and developed an orange that's big enough, sweet enough, and in that orange, there's no seeds at all, so you don't have to throw any seeds away. And they do the same thing taking tomatoes, producing tomatoes without seeds, producing this and this and that. But without the seed that's on the fruit, you'll never produce anything. So the seed is the life carrier. Just as you remember this, it's not the leaves the right life carrier. It's not the fruit itself, but it's the seed that's in the fruit. That's the life carrier of that tree all the way up. So you pick up the fruit and you look at it and you say, now I need to plant next year or something like that. I need to plant some new trees. And you don't just take, for example, from that fruit and you say, well, if I cut an orange peeling or something, I'll put it on the ground, it's going to grow. It's not going to grow. You have to have the seed itself to be able to grow. Now, when we see the difference between the fruit and the seed that's in the fruit, it's a tremendous amount of difference. It's true that the orange is the life carrier and sustains that seed. But remember, that orange is not the life. The life is in the seed that's in that orange. And quite often, the King James Version refers to the fruit, and actually, the original Bible refers to the seed. Instead of saying fruton, who means fruit, refers to karpon, and the King James translates it as a fruton. But we have to look a little closer because there's a reason for these things. So, we have fruits, different kinds of fruits. We have probably sometimes in the scripture illustrated. We have the seed of the tree. We have the seed of the womb. Now that's in Luke 1:42, Acts 2:30. We have the seed of the lips. Why? Through the lips can be carried life. You know why? Every word is life. You can destroy, you can kill, and you can make somebody. I was reading in Proverbs, I think it was the 14th chapter today, and in that says, when you answer with a soft kind of an answer, and that avoids wrath. Why? There's aggravation there. Then you have other things, seed of the earth, forbidden seed, and so on. But our Lord now, when he came, he faced a group of people that were the Pharisees. And the Pharisees externally appeared beautiful, but internally, there was nothing in them. There was nothing but a bunch of sinners. So we have to look always the seed to bury it. And this, Jesus speaks about it, and he says, by their fruits you shall know them. That word is not fruit, but karpon. And the only way to know what you're going to get when you have a seed is just bury it, and that's the only way to find out. If where the life is coming from, if it's a genuine believer or if it's a hypocrite. Now, Jesus is speaking to the group of people, and let's look a couple of portions of the scripture today, and then probably you can start forming some opinions or some studies for the things to come. Let's go to Matthew, the 15th chapter, Matthew 15. And let's look something there. Starting from the 7th verse. And I will move slow because I need the materials for Sunday. Jesus said here, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, The first thing our Lord comes and charges them and says, you're a hypocrite. And you say, Brother David, what is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is a theatrical word. Comes from the word hypocrites, who means I try to manifest something that I'm not. Like in the theater, they need somebody to play this act, and they change your mask, they wear a mask probably, or they make some kind of makeup, and you look something like a character that's in a play, but you are not really the one. So Jesus speaks to them, and he calls them hypocrites. Why? Because internally, these people, they were no good. But externally, they appear pretty good. Probably they went to church, they had long hair, they did this, they get dressed nice, and the men get dressed nice and so on. They shake your hand. But we're talking about, not about the fruit right now. We're talking about the seed that's in that fruit, the life carrier. And when I get Sunday about the Pentecostal tree that brought its fruit and so on, you'll see what we're talking about, the last day's message, what's going on, what's not going on. So Jesus continues, says, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me, he says, with their lips, but their heart is far from me. When you look somebody like that, the first thing you say that person is praise the Lord, God bless you, and so on. But remember, if that fruit that we see is not really the seed and we bear it to know the life, the only thing we see is external things. And that external thing that we see can be so deceiving. We know quite a few times we see people that, children that arose up in a Christian home, and they come in a Christian home and they come to church and they are behaving, they are good kids and continue on, but probably the only thing they can tell you, they are in the message or they are Presbyterians, they are Methodists, they are Baptists. But if you really boil it down, these kids probably have never been saved. And you have to stop and think about it, because it can be very deceiving to say, oh, he's not doing anything good, he was in church all his life. That doesn't mean that the person is saved. You can pick out the worst man out of the street, bring him here, and that man can be saved in seconds, and be ready for the rapture, and somebody that sits in the pew for 40 years and 50 years will never make it. Why? The basis is not how good you are, how conformist, how much they deprogram you, how much you have to deceive yourself that you think you are ready to go. It's to have the process of to be justified, to be sanctified, to be filled with the Spirit, and this is the areas we're going to study Sunday. So really, you can be self-deceiving. You can say, I got it. I'm ready to go. And so on. Praise God. And you look around you, somebody asks you, when did you get saved? Oh, I have been in this church for 20 years. In other words, I'm bringing my seniority. Seniority has nothing to do with salvation. Listen, let me give you a quick salvation. A thief on the cross stands up there, ready to die. He says, you haven't done anything, Lord. He says, you are innocent. He says, be merciful to me. Help me. He repented, the man. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. And the religious group below there that crucified Jesus, they didn't even know what the man was talking about. That man experienced salvation, ready to go. And all these Pharisees, the priests and the high priests there sitting around, crucify him according to the book of Acts, not knowing what they are doing. And what happened? They were fulfilling the word of God by killing Jesus, and they didn't even know it. And that man was getting mercy. So Jesus now called these people hypocrites, and he said to them, look, he says, what you really do, these people, he says, they come nigh unto me. Is it possible that we can get closer to Jesus and say, Jesus, I love you, and Jesus, I do this, and Jesus, I do that, and all this, try to get closer? And you know, the flesh can work you so much close to the Lord that you think you are close enough. But the closer you think you are, the farther you might be. It's not how close you think you get. It's what he says about you. So let's don't deceive ourselves. Don't think that, oh, I got it, and now everything is all right. Because these people had tremendous jealousy and zealousy to just get closer to the Lord. And so did Ezekiel in 33, chapter 33, the last four or five verses. This is they run after Ezekiel and everything, but Ezekiel says these people come unto me and they don't know anything what I'm talking about. They like to hear what I'm doing. And on the other side, they have no experience what I'm trying to tell them. So these people start drawing nigh unto God. They were getting closer, he says, unto the Lord. And with their mouth, and what did he say here? Draw nigh unto me with their mouth. With other words, praise God, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved, and so on. But you know, there's a secret experience of salvation that God delivers from sin. That's the bottom of the line. And when God delivers and saves a man from sin, the man knows the Spirit of God. I'm talking about men and women. I know the Spirit of God because of the work that that Spirit has done in them to remove them and separate them from sin. You say, Brother David, are they going to fail again? Probably many times. But you know they have experienced something that they can go back to. You see, no matter how much you beat them up, a true believer will never leave the cross. Will just go back because he was born by the cross. But a make-believer, you know, I don't care what they say. I got my own thing to do and I don't care about anybody and so on. Fine, go right ahead. So Jesus speaks about that and he says with their mouth, and he says, they honor me, he says, with their lips. So it's a lot of honoring to the Lord. How do you honor the Lord? Testify. A man can stand up and testify. He says, I thank the Lord for what happened. Truly can happen many good things in your life. And you can testify that probably God bless you. And God can bless you without even being saved. You cannot measure your salvation by blessing. The natural man is so deceiving. You say, the Lord blessed me. How did you? Oh, he gave me a job. I can point you more people that got better jobs than you have. And they're smoking their cigar and go on. Correct? And truly, God blesses His people and keeps His people. Don't misunderstand me. God keeps His people. But you measure your salvation not by the extent of your blessings, but by the Spirit of God in you. And when that Spirit of God starts working in you, it's not just a lip service. Many times silence will accomplish more than all this lip service. Sometimes, let me illustrate it like that. Somebody can say, I did this. Stand up at the congregation and say all the great things. And it's nothing but self-exalting. And you can have a little man and a little woman go over and clean the restrooms. It doesn't say anybody to anybody who has done it. And their reward is in heaven and they please God more than this man speaking and shouting. Why? God works in the closet. We like audience. We like video cameras to be seen. But God works in the secret places. So now we see that Jesus speaks about them. He says, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man. What is the criteria now that we're looking? What do these people teaching for doctrine the commandments of man? Commandments of man is instructions of man. Do this, don't do that, don't do that, do this. You know, sometimes when we have service, and instead of having, for example, a normal service, having songs and then preaching, sometimes it's not out of an ordinary at all to say, let's kneel down this Sunday morning and pray to God so God will keep us. Right? You see, we cannot structure ourselves and say, this is it. We're going to have a song, and then after the song, we're going to have this and this and that. Because, you see, we don't let the Spirit of God move. We don't let the Lord's dealing. Sometimes the Spirit of the Lord wants to deal, wants to move, and we don't wait. The only thing we think in our mind, what's happening next? But God now, when He's working now, He's doing certain things that we have to watch it, we have to respect it, and we have to say, Lord, what is this all about? Now, let's accumulate our materials, and let's go for a minute to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. For the 15th verse, our Lord speaks and He said this, beware of false prophets, which come unto you as sheep's clothing. So he gives a warning now. You say, who is a prophet, Brother David? Is somebody that will start and tell us the future? You know, remember this. These kind of people are very, very sneaky. You got to watch them, he said. With other words, what you're going to see, you're going to see sometimes very quiet, very nice. They will shake your hand. They tell you they love you. All these characteristics they have the sheepskin around them. They feel good. But in them, there's something wrong. So you have to start watching very close what Jesus is speaking here. And then he continues, and he says, but inwardly, they're veining wolves. So listen, in a regular tree, and we'll continue on that, in a regular tree, if you have an orange tree, it would produce oranges. But here, in this case, we have something that's hybrid. It will produce externally the orange. You look at the orange, you say that orange looks beautiful, but eternally there's no life in them. Why there's no life in them? The seed, there are no seed carriers at all. They're hybrid. And Jesus gives the warning here. He says, beware of them. Why? These people are troublemakers. They will create troubles. And they will try to destroy and hurt. He said, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Now, listen very close now. He says, look at the karpon, not the fruton. Our human nature is so deceiving. The first thing we do, we pour our hearts right away, which is fine. You know? Oh, he's a nice guy. Oh, he's a nice lady. Praise God. God bless them. And we talk and they felt good and so on. Remember, there might be wolves. So you have to hold yourself back to know what you're dealing with. It's good to love somebody. It's good to say that how much you appreciate them. But you see, you got to watch because that's between you and the Lord, your salvation there. And you're going to find someday that people come like that, like wolves, and try to drag you down to destroy you. Like we're going to see the Joel prophecy and the different stages and what happened through the church ages Sunday morning. When now Jesus started warning them, what do they have to watch? And he said, listen, even so, he says, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. The tree itself brings a good fruit. But in order to know what kind of a fruit it is, and what's the quality of that fruit, don't always look the outside that's hybrid and start praising God for a hybrid item. Look the internal. Look the seed. Look the person, with other words, at the time of trial that will pray with you. The rest of them are flatterers. They're flattering you to death. They can use you as much as they can get benefits out of you. And when you fall into it, you don't even know the difference. And then they will dump you before you know it. You will be just a wreck. So you have to really start watching now, because that fruit that you have to know somebody, you got to start watching the fruit. Now, you say, Brother David, if I would pick up an orange and start looking in there and I have all these seeds there, it's true, the scripture says, if that seed is not buried, abideth alone. If it's buried, it brings more seed, brings more fruit out, you see. That word karpon again, it's not just the fruit, it's not the fruiton. So now we look at it, and Jesus gives the warning now. And he says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. I'm sorry. He says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. So you put three classes of people. The genuine believer that will bring always a good fruit outside. A make-believer that can be a hypocrite and bring a hypocritical fruit outside. And the other one that doesn't know where he stands at all. He just, praise God, hallelujah, pray for me and leave me alone. That's the kind of a class you have. In these groups that you see now, every tree that bringeth not forth a good fruit, what happened? You have to cut it down and cast it into the fire. The criteria, if that tree has life in it, it's not how good it looks at the trunk, it's not how it looks it goods in the leaves, it's not how many leaves it got, how much, like in the tape you're going to listen to the leaves, the type, like similar, let's say the charismatics clap their hands or something, you know, every leaf feels good and so on. That is not the life. The life is carried through all these things, but it's on the fruit itself. Inside that fruit, we have seeds. And we have to realize that is hidden inside. You say, Brother David, it's hidden? Yes. You know, when you look at an orange, you look at it, it looks beautiful. You say, wow, that's an able orange, big and so beautiful. You see, the seed is an ugly looking thing in that orange. But always remember, that little ugly thing always is the carrier of life. It's not the big show. It's not, I'm he, I'm she, I'm this. No, you see, it's nothing like that. It's what's hidden inside that you see doesn't make any show. Doesn't attract your eye. The color is not there. There's no taste there. There's nothing there. All the characteristics. And you take the seed, it's so insignificant to some people, they'll throw it away. They'll throw it in the ground. Why? They don't care for the seed. So you got to watch always, not to look at the orange and magnify the orange, how beautiful it is. Because you have seen many oranges, you open them, there's no seed in them. There's no life in them. You can have people going to church and so on. You say, I know Brother David, I know the pastor for 20 years and so on. It does not mean that the person is saved. We are saved by the blood of Christ at the cross of Calvary. And this activity at the cross is called justification. You are justified by faith. You know why you are justified by faith? There's nothing you can offer. If you attempt to do anything to improve that, you pollute it. You are justified by the finished work of Christ at Calvary. Justify, it's a judicial word. That means you were guilty before. There were charges against you. And now there's no charges, nothing left against you. Everything is cleaned up. So God now looks at you and at me and says, there's a difference between you that have been justified and the next guy that claims to be in the same message, the same church, the same soul, or probably go to the same congregation. The people have a hard time to understand that. It is not, friends, that the external of the fruit is the life that's inside. Look at the time, for example, you have a trial and a testing. Serious times. You don't know what side is up and down. Tell me, today in the church world, where would you look for somebody to have confidence? Name it. Where would you look for somebody to pray for you and you know that they're going to stand up and help you and tell you the truth and might chew you up and by still helping you? Where would you find these people? You know what they're going to tell you? You're goody-goody, how good you are, and so on. And just forget it, and everything will be all right. Don't worry about it, and so on. But you see, there are things that are supposed to take care of. And here our Lords are speaking to us, and he says, watch that fruit, and watch that seed in the fruit, with other words. Not the external thing, but the internal. Where would you go? You know what you're going to be doing? You're looking at one of the most insignificant person. That you know these people are praying, reading the word, if they're in touch with God, that will be your criteria. On the other side, if you have a potluck dinner, you see, you'll look for Martha's. And Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. You'll be looking for Martha. Oh, thank you, and I did this, and the cake is baked, and all these things. But just remember, the time of serious business with God, you're looking for brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you can count them probably with one hand. That's what you can count. So God now start giving the warning in this Matthew 7, from the 15th verse to the 20th, he says, wherefore, he says, by their fruits you shall know them. See, now, it's true, myself, I don't know, I'm just waiting in outside manifestation. I don't know if somebody has the seed of God in them, if they have the life of God in them or not, I don't know. But I always amazed with John the Baptist. John the Baptist, I was thinking of what the angel of the Lord told Brother Branham. As John the Baptist foretold the first coming, you have a message to foretell the second coming. Remember, a message. Now, they wanted John the Baptist. All these people, what you and I, we would do? What Gordon, Brian, Iris, or Lisa, any of these people will do? Here is all the multitudes. Probably, I will say with them, praise God, who got a revival, the Spirit is moving. But John didn't say that. He says, you generation of vipers. With other words, you snakes. What did he ask? Why did he call them snakes? Bring forth, therefore, carpon, which is worth of repentance. With other words, bring me that seed to bury to see that you are truly repenting before you come to be baptized. You know, it's so easy to baptize people. The only thing you do, the person wants to be baptized, and quite often we give them religious spirits. That's all we do. We take a young boy, he doesn't know anything about salvation. Mother says he's ready to be baptized. Fine, you take the responsibility. What do? You baptize the boy in the name of Jesus Christ. The person got a religious spirit in him. And what happens? They think everything's all right now because they're baptized. Probably they are not even saved. And baptism is supposed to follow salvation, because baptism confesses what salvation is. It's an outward confession of an inward work of Christ in the person. So then the person gets a religious spirit. Oh, I was baptized. I ran across that case with somebody in Arizona. We went one time, all of us, up in Prescott area. And the boy came to be baptized, and the boy was baptized. And he says, I'm ready to be baptized. The parent says he's ready to be baptized. The boy comes to me later, in a couple of 3 years, he said to me, I want to tell you something. He says, I wasn't saved, and I want to be baptized, and I was baptized. He says, was I wrong? What I should do? I said, well, I believe you didn't confess anything because you were not even saved. I says, I will go and be baptized again if you believe you are really saved. Why? It's an experience that you are confessing publicly what God has done in you. We have many, many people today that are baptized even in Jesus' name, and they show formality with no salvation, no nothing, and these people are ready to think that they are ready to go to heaven. This is not salvation. And with this tape, I appreciate, if you have any questions, listen to the tape. You must be born again. It's a hard tape, but it's a true tape. You must be born again. Now, the warnings that Jesus is giving us here, and if you go down to the 21st and to the 23rd verse, he says, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter unto the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. With other words, with all these things externally, all these external manifestations, all these hallelujah and big, big things that's going on. Jesus stops here and he says this, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord. Not every person that says, I believe in the Lord. The Lord is this. The Lord is that. Praise the Lord for this. Praise the Lord of that. This has nothing to do. What happened? When a person is getting saved, the Spirit of God comes in them, removes the sins away. And sometimes, true, they make mistakes, but they restore themselves by the Holy Spirit. And what happened? Because they don't base their salvation in Lord, Lord. They base their salvation because they know they were in darkness and God brought them into light. That's it. That's it. And let's don't become familiar with that. I go to meetings, and true, quite a few people says, we're in the message. Not too long ago, I was in a place, and I said to them, I said, listen, I said to me, you can know the message back and forth. You can claim that you related to the prophet and everything else. It does not mean you're saved. Outside of the blood of Christ, there's no salvation, period. And a preacher wanted to see me at the end. I said, I have no time for you. That's it. You don't have time to argue with these people that I got a quote, you got a quote. If you don't have any scriptures, then bring it here. Leave me alone. I'm not going to waste my time anymore with these things. We got to realize that when we are saved by the blood of Christ, the old man is dead. The new man takes place now. And we are in a war and a battle. I was thinking the other day, praying, and I don't know why my mind was there. As in the time of the war, can you imagine now being the front line? The first people that are killed, of course, is the sergeants. Because they want to be smart with the military, the army guys. And that's the time they got their chance to clean them up, kill them, you know. And they have found, it's proven, that most of the sergeants they were killed, the bullet came from the back. Then you see, you look at yourself, and you try to picture sometimes some picture you have seen or something. And you say, here I'm in a war zone. I'm hiding behind rocks. And the only thing I hear, zoom, zoom next to me. That's life. Do you know that? For a Christian, you are in a war constantly with Satan. You know? You don't know when the next sniper is going to fire at you. You don't know what's going to happen the next minute. You don't know anything about it. The only thing you know, you are in the war line. And the only person that keeps you is God. God can keep you, can carry you. I don't know if you read the story about that pilot, how he knew how to conduct himself. And so that was training. And the commentator said, it proves one thing, he said, training pays. That's why we're training ourselves by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. To be ready to go out and face the enemy. You don't grab anything that looks like a lamb. You don't grab it. Probably just a lamb skin. And you're grabbing a wolf. You know? Study mythology. Study the Trojan horse. Study all the deceptions, you know? Just back in mythology and bring them today about so many things. So Jesus now speaks to them. He says, "May will say unto me, they will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Here, you've got some key thoughts that we're going to start using them for Sunday. Never, never let manifestations of what you do for others to compensate for your salvation. You can rest in your works and sink down to hell. I did this, I did that, and you feel good, you know. Always, your soul should be, God has done this. God has done this. You know, Satan can come over and try to puff me up. Oh, God, this, we did that. We haven't done anything. It's God's business, God's vineyard that we are working. Can you imagine now you and I go to a vineyard to work and says, I work, look at these grapes, how beautiful they are. No, it's God that gives the increase. It's God that brings the fruit. It's God that's doing anything. It's not me, it's not you, it's nobody else, it's God. So you got to watch yourself here. Why? Because these people were basing their salvation in their works. And they cast out devils. They did great things. But what happened? Look at the secret. He said to them this, "And then I will profess unto them I never knew, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." This is a painful thing, isn't it? Have you ever been in a meeting, and the word is preached, and the people feel good, and the people cry, and you feel good, and everything else. And you go out, you say, we got a good service, but something is missing. You say, what is missing anyway? And if you check probably, that word iniquity is anomia, transgressors of the law of God. And if you transgress the law of God, you cannot compensate with the rain that falls on everybody. And because it falls on you, everything's all right. It doesn't work like that. You got to watch yourself always. Lord, where do I stand? Am I trying to take the people's vineyard and I forgot my own? What am I doing anyway? Because the people can drive you out from your mind. Do this for me and do this for me. And by the time you get through, you feel you have done so much, so many good, and you feel good. That's true. And these people here, you just have done great things in your name. They prophesy. You say, a man prophesying using the name of Jesus and still be lost and hear from Jesus, depart from me that you work iniquity? Yes. The gifts of the Spirit never takes you to heaven. Gifts and callings are without repentance. It's your relation between you and the Lord and me and the Lord, and we have to be ready to be there in that day. That's why it's important now. Sunday, when we're going to take justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the coming of the Word. You see, coming of the Word is the fruit that we're going to study Sunday. Many people say, the fruit is the Word, true. And you look at them and you say, are you saved? I don't know what you're talking about. You see, you don't have fruits dropped from the skies. The fruit is reflecting the life that's in the root. And if you don't have that, you have no fruits at all. Mentally, you think you're saved. But it has to be the Spirit of God that deals with you all the time. People, I talked to a brother a few days ago, and he says to me, Brother David, is it just me that I have a terrible time to break through? No, I said, it's not just you, it's everybody. Well, in the last days, well, he says, do you feel that you're supposed to have a great time, you know, in a genuine seed of God and the Spirit, having a great time when you live in Sodom? When every devil is walking around loose? You cannot have that. I says, we are pressing on. It seems to me like you're trying to cut through cement, through steel to try to go through. But God said here, He says, depart from ye that work iniquity. So when you see somebody claiming I'm this, I'm that, I'm a lamb. I'm in the message. Doesn't mean anything. The thing that you look at, either are transgressors of the law of God, or fulfilling the law of God. We live in a time now that if you scream loud enough, you have somebody to follow you. Because the people don't know which direction to go and what to do. They lost their compass. You know where they escaped to? Splicing and philosophizing about the gospel. Paul spoke against them in Colossians. Intruding into those things that they have not seen, vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, Paul said. So now, you come down to the core now. Why? What is the law of God? Is the life of God. Is God Himself. You see, I got the gifts. Gifts and callings comes without repentance. God will give it to you. So when you come to start analyzing yourself or somebody that comes around, the only thing you start looking, you know what you start looking? It's, are we transgressing the law of God? Or we are fulfilling the law of God? That's the criteria as Christians should follow today. We're impressed by meetings. We're impressed by people. We're impressed by money. We're impressed by looks. We're impressed for this. It's better to have a brother and a sister say this. They cry and says, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I need God right now. You know, you got materials to start going somewhere over there. The other ones, they think they got it. They're in the message. You can't deal with these kind of people at all. I was talking to my sister today in Dallas. I asked her, I said, did you see again the video? She says, we're seeing and we're watching it over and over again. They go over and over and I study it. I says, what did you like about that? She said to me, You know something? When he prayed for the sick, he didn't just grab the people and shake them. He said, I'll wait for the Spirit of God to come. Because without him, I'm nothing, he said. He says, if we know how to wait for God to speak to us, we might have something. Now remember, she's growing. She's steady. She says, my husband is, a book that I gave him is reading the book, but she says, I want to study the book because I go word by word and I outline it and try to study what everything says. So now, we're looking in ourselves and says, Lord, in that whole story, in that whole process of a fruit and the seed that's in the fruit, that seed is the life of God, which is the Word of God. Let's don't get excited about the fruit itself. What do you really need? What is the most important? The most important is the seed. Did you watch sometimes some of the fruits? The fruit itself will start rotten and rotten and rotten, but that seed will still remain, right? As a hard shell has been eating inside. And what happened? The farmer picks it up and accumulates it for next year to plant some things. So now God speaking here, he gives us the priority number one, the Word of God. Well, that's the carrier. And when we start seeing the last days, what God has done, God moved, starting from the 42s or something like that, start moving with his Spirit all over. What happened? Then you break the Pentecostal move into two groups. The charismatics and the very, very few, not even one of a thousand, the very, very few that follow the Word. The charismatics, what they got? They got the Spirit. But the life is not in the looks of the orange tree. The life is in the seed itself. And there are very few of them that go and open the Word and says, I believe in the Word of God, what it says. Somebody else comes and says, we do this, we do that. The question is, where is God in the whole thing? Does God want me to do that? That's where the seeker of restoration is, friends. People are looking for restoration. Something that they will shout and scream. The more they shout, everything will be all right. No, I'm looking for restoration for the Holy Spirit of God to get a hold of me and you and do such work in our hearts that will change you daily to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I believe that we have the material because it was promised in Joel. But I believe so often, instead of correcting ourselves, we distract ourselves from the reality. God says, do this. We say, oh, I feel good and I cry. I had a good service. But fine. I heard the whistle of the boat too. But what is moving the engine? That's what I want to know. I want to know right at the bottom of it. I don't want to hear, depart from ye that work iniquity. I want to make sure that what I'm doing fulfills the law of God. That's what I want to make sure right there. So restoration, the way that we look at it, is not sometimes what the world thinks is going to be. Because God speaks about these things. When you go home and you want to study a couple of scriptures that probably will throw lots of light, go to Isaiah 29:13, and compare that with Matthew 15:7-9. Especially Matthew 15:7, the first part of the seventh verse. It says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you. That prophecy of you is found in Isaiah 29:13. And also that fabulous scripture that if we were in a Sunday school class, probably we'll try to get an assignment, each one of us to memorize that Ezekiel 33, the last five verses there. And when you compare with that, especially Matthew 15:8 there, that's speaking about the people draweth near, and that Ezekiel 33 agrees totally together. Now, why we did this thing tonight is to prepare for Sunday, for these stages of the tape, the restoration of the bride tree. What you're going to see now, when we start talking about the life of the seed, we're not talking about just the looks of the food. We're talking about the life that's inside that seed, and we want to see that seed be manifested, you know. Look, Romans 6. When God does some work in you, don't expect for you to make a show. People might see it, but if you still see that and get proud about it, you might be losing the boat. When that seed falls into the ground and dies and brings forth life out, that seed that went and died, he looks nothing to brag about, because right in the middle of the dirt, right in the middle of the darkness. That's the way sometimes a Christian, you might feel that you're right in the middle of the darkness and you don't see anything, but you still realize that the life of the Holy Spirit is in you. That's good enough for me. Because why? Life works in others. Death works in you. I was talking to Brother Herb the other day. I said, Brother Herb, the other Sunday I had the worst service that I had Sunday morning. I just felt beat up. I couldn't preach. I was so, it's like drilling in a wall. And somebody got a hold of the tape. He called me and said to me, "We appreciate the tape. That was a great tape." What happened? You don't know what you're doing. You know? You don't know what you're doing. God can put in your heart to do something that you didn't even know what you have done. You can pick up a little Bible, leave it in the corner somewhere. I have to admire a man. I go to the post office sometimes in the mornings, very early in the morning at Arrowhead. And when I walk there to check the box, every morning, I don't know what time that man comes, leaves a little teeny Bible, little teeny thing with some verse of salvation, leaves it there. Later on, it's gone. Next morning, it's another one. That man is planting seeds. You know, he doesn't have any address to write to the fellow. He doesn't have anything, but you know, probably you don't know. You might be shaking hands on the other side of eternity with saved people. You know nothing about it. So don't think because you don't see something, it's not there. So I appreciate the Word of God so much. I appreciate what's in it. So I'm looking forward to Sunday, because we have a good study Sunday morning about the stages through the church ages and the restoration of the bride tree in the end. All things point to one thing. Every time you have justification with Luther, what do? A mess out of it. You have sanctification by Wesley. What do? A mess of it. Pentecostals on Azusa Street. What do? Charismatics make a mess out of it. And at the end, I'm not talking about the world. In this message, you find the two vines growing together, the believer and the make-believer, in the same assembly, in the same places, in the same conventions, in the same everything. Always you have these two growing together. But as believers, I don't believe we should back up. We should go on and say what we have to say and go on with the Lord. That's what I believe we should do. And then the rest of it belongs to the Lord, whatever the Lord wants to do. And that's what we're going to do Sunday. I hope that I will make it very simple. And when we start looking about the restoration, restoration is not a big clapping affair. It's individuals that God is working, such a secret work. Do you know, probably here, people go through trials that nobody knows anything about it. People go through trials, through loneliness, through frustrations, through everything, beat up constantly. You say, Brother David, what this means? But you know what? I always see the end result. they hold on to it. And they keep on going on with God. They keep on going on with God. They keep on pressing on. So, remember Sunday service. I appreciate if you remember in prayer tonight and tomorrow morning about my brother. I will try to call tomorrow morning to see if I can get him to answer the phone. You know, if I don't help him, who is going to do it? Tell me. Souls. Souls are dying. And I don't want to become callous of it. I'm thankful for what God is doing with my sister, my brother-in-law. I want to see if probably about 2 weeks when I get back or something to spend Thursday and Friday together with him, get him out of the house and drive together, and hoping that we can kneel down and pray together. That's my objective. So I just pray so the Lord will just save my brother. He needs salvation. He needs deliverance. I don't take it light. I don't say depression as he's demon possessed. That's it. That's devils, you know? That's devils. It's not toys. Let's stand. Let's sing "At the Cross, At the Cross." Well, I first saw the light, and then I'll ask Brother Brian to close us in a word of prayer. At the cross, at the cross. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart roll away. It was there by faith I receive my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Yes, Lord.
Lord, O God, we just pray, O Lord, that you let your seed, O God, Lord, just, Lord, sink deep inside of us, O Lord, and send your spirit to moisture it, O God, Lord, and it'll just grow, Lord.
Oh, yes, Lord.
In you, O God.
That's what we need, Lord.
Lord, we might just manifest you, O God. Lord, a true, unadulterated seed, O God, Lord, of purity and of life. Lord, that others can partake of it and live, O God. Lord, O God, Lord, not to, Lord, even on some hybrid fruit, Lord, that we might generate, O Lord, through iniquity, O God. And Lord, but in truth, Lord, in faithfulness, Lord, in your faithfulness working in us, O Lord. Lord, O God, just manifesting you, O Lord, in purity, O God, Lord, that truly, O God, it might be your life that others might live, O God. Lord, O God, just use us for your glory, O God. Lord, O God, help us in every way, O Lord, to just draw closer to you. Lord, let, Lord, we can just be used of you, Lord, as we desire. Lord, O God, help us, Lord, to see each, Lord. Lord, prepare our hearts daily, Lord, through Lord, a true worship and Lord, meditation and
glory to God.
O God, surrendering to you, God, the self, that you might live in us, O God. Lord, that it not be us, O Lord, but Christ that liveth in us, Lord, both to will and to do your good pleasure, O God. Meet us in all your ways, be with us as we go forth. Keep us, keep all our brothers and sisters, wherever they might be. Lord, we just commit all these things, every need, every situation. Lord, you're the one with all the answers, O God. And in you, O Lord, to be trusted.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Be with us, O Lord, as we go forth.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to be the life of Christ manifested. May be dismissed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.